gate up at the neighborhood.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
I don't think that that ever gets old. Does it ever get old? I don't think it ever gets old, man. Talking sports with 12 Man is officially on the air. Man, we're just the month is flying by, gentlemen. October 22nd. You know, 3,000 kids coming to Portland there, Curtis and Gary's neighborhood. So fun times, and I'm shaking folks down for $10, man. So that's what I do, man. You know, just it's one of those crazy
shaking
days.
Shaking us down
man.
For
but
a bag
again,
of candy.
You're shaking it down, bro. Well, that's
trying to get that Halloween money.
For real, though, right? Tell them about the times you guys had to go for more candy. Hey, we ran out. Our first year here in this neighborhood, we ran out. And I had to make a mad dash to go. We couldn't, man. It wasn't even halfway through the night. It was probably 7 o'clock.
Wow. Yeah, I tell you what. That's when that front porch light go off. Yeah, you turn that front porch light off. take it inside.
We're going to the next house. We are having fun again, America. But again, let's get some fucking sports with the 12th man kicked off. We got a lot of things to discuss, man. We have some NFL. We have some basketball, fantasy. We've got some baseball. A lot of things to discuss. So without further ado, let's get this party started. Let's kick it off with my man, JQ. How you feeling, bro? How you feeling, sweetie?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Doing good. Like I said, I'm in the house, so I'm having to do a lot more switching today. But one time for those Nationals, they jumped back on the top of the Astros. But I switched over, of course, to the Lakers and the Clippers because I got to watch that. So how you doing?
Yeah, that's what everyone's. I'm doing good, man. Like you said, I was doing that. The Raptors game was actually pretty interesting. I know, obviously, minus Sands. Mm-hmm. Zion Williamson, I know that's probably Rob's tuned in, so that was actually pretty entertaining. And like you said, switching between that and then obviously the game of the night, everyone's watched. Not the full Clipper squad without Paul George coming back for 10 games and whatnot too, but it's kind of interesting to say the least. And obviously, JQ being a Laker fan, I'm curious to hear your response thoughts about that game as well as the show goes on. Let's keep it moving here, Mr. Robert Ford, probably living his best life right about now. How you feeling, Rob?
Hey, doing good. You know, tough loss by the Pelicans tonight in overtime to the Raptors. Just fell apart in overtime. So, a tough loss. But we still did conquer a couple of new states. We did conquer Mississippi. You know,
oh my God.
LSU. Uh-huh. Beating Mississippi State. And with Louisiana Tech beating Southern Miss. And then, of course, with the Saints beating the Bears. And the Pelicans beating the Bulls in the preseason. So we didn't conquer Illinois and Mississippi. And
preseason
Louisiana
count,
Purchase in full effect. We got Louisiana North and Illinois. And now we got Louisiana East and Mississippi. Mississippi's still our friends. Gosh. At least they're Saints fans, you know. But LSU did beat Mississippi State. Gosh. And Louisiana Tech did beat Southern Miss. So we just got to get the Pelicans back on track now.
Lord have mercy.
For real. I think Rob was waiting the whole time for that. But without further ado,
you're not going to have any fun doing the show. You got to have some kind of fun.
Yeah, you can get to a preseason game.
Yeah, for real. That's what I was talking about. I mean, I got you whenever you talk about everyone else and you took the preseason. I'm like, man, preseason don't really count. But again, you know, for the sake of the argument, whatever. So again, have fun with it, Rob. You know, we're not going to talk too much junk because you're definitely in a better place than we are right now, speaking for me, but it's all good. So let's throw out the numbers to the show as we
got to get some people
do.
Healthy, though.
What are you talking about, Rob?
Both the Saints and the Pelicans. We got to get people healthy.
Here we go. Okay, all right. Anyway, let's talk about the numbers of the show here really quickly here. The number to call on the show is always 424-243-9519. Hopefully we get Naj to jump in and call in to the show. Always, that's a pleasure and delight. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, you go to facebook.com/talkingsports. With the 12th man, you will find us in that area as well. So let's kick it off, gentlemen. Let's talk about – I'm going to kick it off the West Coast because nothing gives me more excitement here than to talk about the Patriots, especially Curtis. Let's talk about the Patriots, the domination that occurred against the Jets and the first seven games of the season so far. And I think Sam Darnold was kind of seeing ghosts, man. He kept seeing different players, man. But, you know, Bill Belichick is known for putting rookie quarterbacks, you know, just kind of confusing them. So, again, without further ado, but if you hear something in the background, you're going to hear the wife yelling and screaming, man. So, anyway, she loves basketball season like me, so she's going to have fun with that too. But, Curtis and Gary, your thoughts about the way the Patriots have been dominating defensively for the first Jets and also for the first seven games this season?
Well, you know, how about those Cowboys? Well, you know, like I said, the sky wasn't falling. But
the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? The question was, we're just going to the Cowboys. We're going to get to the Cowboys. We're going to have a lot of time to talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
But the scary thing is, okay, and I told Gary this when he called me this today.
Wow.
Okay, yay for the Cowboys. But
wow.
The Patriots made the team just a week before that beat the Cowboys, made that team look like they don't belong in the NFL.
Okay.
And the Cowboys couldn't do that, so that's on my mind. But I'm going to tell you about a little bit of me being out west and some of the things I observed out west. Now, I'm going to say it was a good Saturday for me where, for some reason, and I'm not sure why the Pac-12 did this, they had the Oregon State game on at, it was like 10:30 our time, real early game. And the Pac-12 usually doesn't play early games, and they had the Oregon game come on at 12:30. So I was able to switch back and forth between the two Oregon teams. And we saw Oregon step up, and it took until the fourth quarter for that defense for Oregon to finally show up there in Seattle. But it was a great victory. It was a great growing experience, I think, for the Oregon Ducks, but they can't get ahead of themselves. They've got to focus in and go one game at a time and win all these games to get in that championship game in the Pac-12, which I believe they will be facing Utah. And Utah's no joke. So here we go there. And maybe Jonathan Smith has something going. He's got maybe he's got the team buying in. They went down to California, and they beat the California team that beat Washington down there in California, which was kind of a surprise and kind of a real pleasant surprise. And they're sitting at second. Oregon State right now is sitting in second in the Pac-12 North. And who would have thunk it? Who would have seen it? It is a real happy time for the state of Oregon and here on the West. The only problem that happened for me on Saturday, in the snow in Salt Lake City, the Portland Timbers went up there and didn't play in the first half, looked inept in the first half, right in the start of the second half, they headed a goal to tie it up in Salt Lake, and eventually they lost it, and they lost it in the 87th minute with a long goal, and they couldn't make it up, and so the Portland Timbers are done. Although Seattle is not. That Salt Lake City will be going up to Seattle in the MLS for a big game. It's one and done. Now in the soccer here, the United States Soccer Association, it's one and done.
Okay, I'm going to translate this for you guys. Curtis doesn't want to talk about the New England Patriots.
We can tell.
Yeah.
I was like, how about them Cowboys? What?
Okay, so
man, I tell you what, I was Marseille from hearing about how about them Cowboys for the last 3 weeks. I guess they back at it this week.
Well, you know what, they are, but I'm going to talk about the Patriots. You know, the Patriots, I don't see anybody except maybe, depending on how, you know, the Ravens do grow, you know, or maybe if Kansas City can get their quarterback back and healthy and strong, I don't see any way that they're not in the Super Bowl again. They're dominant on defense. You know, they're dominant, always dominant on offense. They play smart. I hate it. I don't hate it as much as Curtis hates it. But you know, you want to see them go down. And who knows? Maybe a couple of running quarterbacks like those two teams that I just mentioned, Kansas City or you know Baltimore, can throw them off enough to pull out a victory. That's the only two teams that I can think of. I don't think the Colts aren't there. They're not going to do it, I don't think. I think those are the only two teams that even have a ghost of a chance. Now, what are your thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I think the Patriots are definitely the clear favorite in the AFC and probably the clear favorite to win it all. I think the only competition is right now, in my eyes, it will have to come from the NFC. And, well, you mentioned that Colts team. That Colts team could be the one team that's kind of can sneak up on you. Jacoby Brissett is getting better and better every week. And they have a very talented roster. And not to toot my own horn, but y'all know I was the only one to pick them over the Texans last week on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
And
Oh my gosh.
They have the offensive line. They have the defense. They have the running game. But, you know, I thought they were going to pound the rock against the Texans. Really, Houston just sat 8 men in the box all day long, and Brissett was beating them. And they never adjusted to that in that football game. And so the Colts is a team to watch. I don't think they can beat New England, though. But they are a possible second-best team in that AFC when you look at their overall roster. Their offensive line is one of the best in the league. And a very underrated defense that Colts team have, too.
Yeah, but like we talked about with New Orleans, knowing, you know, what Chase likes to do. Listen, they also know what makes Jacoby Brissett tick, and that's the New England Patriots as well, because he was in their building. And when you're in that quarterback room and asking questions and dissecting film, they know what he likes and doesn't like. So I would give New England the edge over Indianapolis on that alone moving forward. And I hear you. They can play more of a ball control, and you can keep Tom Brady off the field, but that New England defense, I think they're for real. I think it's somewhat slightly skewed because, you know, you look at your schedule, they played the Jets twice, they played the Redskins, they played the Giants. The Bills are a good team. They played the Dolphins, and they beat the Steelers opening night when Ben got that hurt in that game. So, yeah, they're doing what good teams are supposed to do, and that's beat up on weaker opponents. And they're not just beating them, they're beating them down. Like, I was watching that game, and I'm looking at Bill Belichick having Tom Brady throw the ball when it's like 33-0. And it just don't stand a snowball's chance in hell of coming back. And they threw it 3 straight downs. I was sitting there watching it like, wow, that is just so disrespectful. You're not playing for a spot, you know, in the college football playoffs. Like, you don't have to have style points. Like, what are you doing? You get Tom Brady for no reason. Yeah, it's silly. But that just goes to their mindset.
Yeah.
And again, that AFC East is and Buffalo is playing better, but those other two are trash. And you look at the AFC North, they are really trash outside of Baltimore, if you want to be honest about it. I mean, Cleveland, we had high hopes for them, but unless they get this thing turned around, which we all didn't think they could with the schedule, they're in trouble. I agree with you on Pat Mahomes. If Pat Mahomes comes, if they can just kind of steady the ship, and same, they got to do the same thing that New Orleans is doing, maybe not undefeated, but the same kind of vein that they have to do to get Pat Mahomes back that New Orleans has done with Teddy Bridgewater waiting on Drew Brees to get back. But I'm with you guys. I think New England is the favorite in the AFC, and I think the strength of the NFL really evolves in that NFC. The NFC is full-blown loaded.
Yeah, and they made Sam Darnold look like pure D trash in that game last night.
Yeah,
I mean, they made him look like pure D trash, and obviously Sam Darnold made a lot of bad passes, thrown off his back foot a lot. He was pressured a lot in the football game. But, yeah, that defense, it looked dominant. But, you know, JQ made a good point about their competition, too. You still want to see how they're going to fare up against a good team. The Bills are probably the best team they played, and I believe they won that game 16-6. And so 16-13. Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that close. So that was a really close game. And they still, when you look at their schedule, they still haven't played an elite offense, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think their defense is for real. But you still would like to see him play against some tougher competition here and see. I mean, they're going up against Cleveland. I think they'll definitely win again this coming Sunday at home. Cleveland has some weapons on offense. But I just think New England will still take that game pretty handily as well.
It was 16-10, I'm sorry. Not 16-13.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was a one-possession game. So, yeah, you're right to your point.
Yeah, I know it was close.
And that was funny, man.
Hunt scored a touchdown in that game too.
They did.
If I remember,
one of the defense
owner.
One of the things that scares me. You know, Belichick being, you know, maybe a genius. I don't see Jacoby Brissett. I don't see New England letting Jacoby Brissett beat them.
Just that
mindset. Just the fact that they didn't believe in him up there in New England. Now he's going to come into New England, and they're looking at him, and they don't believe in him. They're going to crush. They'll crush them guys. Just because of that.
Juan Soto with another hit in this game. Yeah, now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think I said the Colts will beat the Patriots. I don't believe that at all. I just said the Colts might be the second-best team in the AFC, though.
Yep, good call. Right. Our teams, you're going to have to some way, somehow, make sure that Tom Brady gets the flu or something like that. And we're going to stop him, man, because right now it just looks crazy here. Let's talk about a couple NFL predictions. I like how we got this early in the show. And I'm not even sure why we were entertaining the Redskins at the Vikings because the Vikings are just like, you know, whatever. And
Kirk Cousins,
I guess now you
got a team.
Well, we know the storyline about it. But, again, it's like, you know, Kirk Cousins now. Are you buying him? I see how we can kind of like tie these two topics together. You know, I know you apologized to Adam Thielen last week, man. So, again – looks like he's feeling like he's in a better place, man. So go ahead, JQ. Tell me your thoughts about this. And, you know, are you buying into Kirk Cousins now as well?
I mean, no. I mean, because you get these flashes from Kirk Cousins. He's done it. And the reason why he got that $90 million guarantee is because he's showing these flashes, and you get it, and you get tempted and salivated, and then he goes back, you know, to being third Kirk Cousins. And it's like, you know, his inconsistency. But he's been on a heater now, and I'll give him credit. He's been on an absolute roll. And it took them to call him out in the press, I guess. But, you know, he was like, okay, you know, don't be safe. We out here on the outside. We want this ball. And he's responded. So I'll give him credit for that. But for me to say that I'm going to put money on the line on Kirk Cousins, nah. And from what I just talked about, this is probably the only time that I would go against my whole he's been in your building, because I just don't think the Redskins have the talent to maximize on knowing what Kirk Cousins likes and don't likes. Like, most times, like I talked about earlier in the show, I would go with that team. Like, if you can't beat the dude that's been in your building, you know what he likes on his bagel in the morning and all the other stuff that goes along with it, and you can't beat him, then you got a problem. But Washington just does not have the talent, I think, to be able to do that. you know, Adrian Peterson running on my ankles out there. Like, come on, man. That's just not going to work. So I'm going to go with Minnesota in that game.
Yeah, Minnesota hands down. This game will be a blowout. And the Redskins might score 7 points, in this football game. And I say Minnesota put up at least 28 to 30 points, possibly even 35 to 40. So, yeah, I think this game will be a runaway win. But I agree. I'm still not sold on Kirk Cousins yet. Minnesota's got a talented offense. It's a great group of wide receivers, solid tight end. Dalvin Cook might be one of the best running backs in the game right now. And the difference for Minnesota this year versus last year, that offensive line, they're a lot better up front in the trenches. Did a lot of injuries on that offensive line last year. It really kind of hurt them. So they are a lot better in the trenches. This team is a playoff team. I mean, whether they win that division or not, I don't know, but they'll at least be a wild card in my eyes. And they're solid on defense with Mike Zimmer as well. So they win this game pretty handily.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm a huge fan of Kirk Cousins. I think he's one of the top two or three quarterbacks.
I believe.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't believe him at all. The answer is not. Yeah, I don't believe in him, and I'm not going to believe in him when he makes it. They're probably going to make the playoffs, but I'm not going to believe in him as a playoff quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a quarterback that can lead his team. I think the old Kirk Cousins is going to rear his ugly head.
Well, he's going to have to show me, and that's where I'm at. And I think he's going to gain more and more confidence.
No mistake.
You know, there's some teams out there, and the Washington Redskins, and it's looking like the Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins are some teams that you play that you get real well real quick, and you really feel good about yourself as a football team when you play. I'm trying to think of San Diego's about to fall in that spot here in a minute, too. LA
Chargers.
Are about to fall in that and they're falling that too. You can get well and you can look good and you can gain a lot of confidence, and that's what's going to happen in Minnesota Thursday night. Minnesota's going to look like world beaters and they're going to feel like world beaters, and it's too bad we have teams like that in the NFL, and we have. If I think about it hard, we might have 4, 5, or 6 of those teams.
Yes, you can throw Cincinnati. Sorry, asking that too.
Yeah, man. Oh my God, it's what a referee. We'll talk about this too, man. It is funny, man, because and JQ, you know, you're both hitting on the head whenever you're talking about, you got to show me. But then it is interesting because you got to think about the trajectory of Kirk Cousins, because you know, back in the day, whenever Washington was kind of going back. They weren't really sold him, like, hey, you know, I don't know, like, what, you know, the whole thing with the contract. They just kept stringing him along, but that should have been kind of a proof enough to say, I don't know if Washington didn't want to pay for him. And you know how Washington's quarterback starved, you know, that could have told you something too. So maybe, you know, again, you sold something. So give his agent a lot of credit for making that deal. And like you said, Curtis, you got to show me now. So, you know, again, he did great this week, and then you got to keep that consistency going for sure. Let's talk about our next game here. Let's talk about the Chargers at the Bears. And Mitchell Trubisky is getting like a lot of hate right now. You know, some people saying that, number one, he's going by Mitchell, not Mitch. But we'll talk about that later. But, again, let's talk about this, JQ, the Chargers at the Bears.
Yeah, man, the Chargers. You talk about it. And it's crazy. I mean, they really lost Felder King, Nicks being gone, Hicks being gone in that run defense. You could just tell that, you know, he just didn't run the ball on Chicago like that when he was in the game. And, yeah, I have to own it. I thought that Trubisky would take a step, and he's taking a step all right, taking a step in the rear. He is, oh, my God, just it's bad,
terrible.
bad quarterbacking by him. It's terrible. Terrible, like Charles would say. And I think this is a game where the Chargers are like, you know, it's going to be hard fought because I think that Bears defense is still good enough to keep them in the game because I don't think San Diego's playing that great. And they have a problem with, you know, trying to ease Gordon back into it. Eckler was in a good groove, and now you're trying to split the, you know, the reps between them, and they didn't, neither one of them are getting into a groove, so to speak. So I still feel like they can win just because Mr. Trubisky's quarterback play is so bad that he's going to give them multiple chances to win that game, even though that didn't work for him the other day. Where they couldn't get it in from three tries from the 1 yard line, but you know Trubisky's play has been so bad, I just can't in good conscience kick him.
Go ahead, Rob.
I think the Bears find a way to respond in this game at home. I don't see them losing two straight weeks on their home field in Chicago, and the Bears got their ass kicked in the trenches on Sunday, and I just can't see the Bears team coming out like that and get their ass kicked in the trenches 2 weeks in a row. And so I think this is a wake-up call for them, and they respond, and they find a way to beat the Chargers in a real tight football game. I'm going to go 24-20. Bears find a way to win this coming week. But definitely, I was at a watch party this past weekend, and I kept telling everybody, all we got to do is run up the middle because they don't have Hicks. But I think the Bears just find a way to respond. I just can't see them getting beaten a tough team like that getting beat in the trenches 2 weeks in a row.
You think Trubisky gets them to 24 points? Whoa.
Wow.
You should put that.
That's a defensive score, bro. That's got to be a defensive score in there somewhere.
Go ahead,
West Coast.
Well, I agree with Rob, but I don't agree with the score. I think that is a lot of points. I'm thinking more of a 17-9. outcome, but I do think Chicago will win the game at home. I don't believe in the Chargers on the road.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think the Chargers are going to find a way to lose this game, and it was unbelievable what they did on Sunday. They've been doing it. Yeah, and
oh my God.
Here we go again.
That was a terrible call. Those were some terrible calls.
I
get it. 1 yard.
That's
what, yeah,
man, you're talking about, man, I can't imagine if I was coaching that. I would have lost my mind. Holy smoke. Oh, God.
Trying to get the brother down. Keep the brother down, man. Let the guy get one touchdown, man. Come on.
Come on, man. Chargers. It's kind of looking like they're going to go into Soldier Field, and they're going to give that away again.
Not if Mitchell Trubisky does it first, man. He's got to go by Mitch, man.
Right.
Not Mitchell. Come on. For real. Hey,
Kawhi.
Let's keep us moving here. Let's talk about the next game.
For the Bears
game,
fans,
got
to be careful about Ryan Pace for them taking Trubisky over Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. But that's another topic for another day, I guess.
They're going to trade for Cam Newton.
Exactly what happened.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a good call,
Rob.
Mahomes is sitting right there. Oh, my God. You probably like, man. All right, let's keep this moving here. Let's talk about the Panthers at the 49ers. And the 49ers, again, they just keep plugging along right now. Even though it was a really rough, rain-soaked game, they eked out a very interesting game versus Washington. But what's the deal about this one, Rob?
This should be an interesting football game. Should be a good football game. You know, you got the undefeated 49ers, 6-0. The Panthers have quietly won 4 in a row playing really good football with Kyle Allen. You know, Kyle Allen is a guy that was undrafted coming into the league, but a guy that was highly recruited coming out of high school. And, you know, he just never really got in the right situation in college. But he's coming on as a quarterback, and you have to wonder if Cam Newton is going to be back the quarterback of that team. He's playing very well. Christian McCaffrey, oh, my goodness, he's playing like the best running back in the league right now. The way he's running the football and catching it out of the backfield. Panthers playing good defense again. Good sound coaching by Ron Rivera. But I'm going to take the Niners at home. I know the Panthers coming off of a bye week. It's a long way to travel cross country to San Francisco, even off a bye week. But I think this is going to be a real competitive football game, real close football game. I'm going to go 21-17 49ers at home.
Yeah, and you talk about Christian McCaffrey, and you know, just talk about something we're gonna maybe get into later. He's not just playing like the best running back; he's playing like a league MVP. He is the engine behind that 4-0 run that you're talking about. He's been just on a whole nother level. You know, running the ball and catching out of the backfield. I mean, that weight that he put on is serving him well because he still has kept his speed. And you know it's coming and it's still working, which is a hallmark of somebody that's just on another level. And you know what I'm getting ready to do. These plays are coming for me and you still can't stop it. But that being said, you know, you got Kyle Allen. That San Francisco team is as quality playing really good defense as well. And all those young big 6'5", 6'6", guys they got on that defensive line are starting to come into their own. They're on the run. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go with San Francisco in this game. I think it's going to be a really good game, probably maybe one of the best games of the weekend, quietly. But I'm going to go with San Francisco. And San Francisco getting Emmanuel Sanders today, you know, they've been running the ball extremely well. But you put Sanders out there, too, and the way they can run the ball and then what he can do best is stretch that field and run good routes. And the ability to be able to run the ball and then play action pass off of that when you go get him, it may take him a week or two to kind of get going in that system. But Kyle Shanahan will find a way to use Emmanuel Sanders. You know, he ain't got Joe Flacco no more.
Yes, he will.
That's a tick for his production just off of GP because he didn't have Joe Flacco no more. So, you know, quietly making moves in San Francisco. I don't necessarily like it. Cost the team 2 Super Bowls, but he's quietly putting together. He's doing in San Francisco what John Elway has not been able to do in Denver. John Lynch, that is.
Yep.
And Denver's best quarterback is still in the front office right now.
Right on.
Oh, man.
But he's been in Eugene a lot. And I think what you saw today was him moving up, and I think he's got Justin Herbert targeted. I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to try to figure out what kind of connection John Elway has to Phil Knight. Because I think he has a direct connection to Phil Knight and the University of Oregon. And I don't remember John Elway wearing Nikes, so I got to figure that out.
They're going to have to get in front of Cincinnati. Cincinnati going to win no games.
What'd you say, JQ?
Well,
I said they're going to get a
phone
with Cincinnati.
Well,
Cincinnati needs a QB.
That's true.
Well, I tell you what, if you're talking quarterbacks in this upcoming draft, this is a good year. I mean, you got Justin Herbert from Oregon. You got Tua from Alabama. And finally, Joe Burrow is moving up the draft boards every week. And some teams even have him as a top 10 guy now. And this
Jalen
is a guy Hurts. Coming into the season.
Jalen Hurts.
And so this is a you know, Jalen Hurts, we don't have him as a top 10, a top maybe late first round at the moment, but we know close to the draft time quarterbacks will go up. But Tua
always.
And Justin Herbert for sure, and Joe Burrow is that guy that's really climbing draft boards right now.
And that guy in Clemson, I think he's another
one. He got one more year.
Yeah, he's got
one more year.
Trevor Lawrence, he's a sophomore, so yeah, he's got one more. Let's see,
Richard.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
Yeah, I want to say, though, for the guy that you're looking at maybe being the MVP, he's coming to San Francisco for him is going to be a little bit of a homecoming. And what is so curious with everybody right here on the West, because at one time it was looking like this division was L.A., Rams to lose, and you never count Russell Wilson out of winning this division, but San Francisco has 7 first-round draft picks on that defense, and the Shanahan brothers seem to know what they're doing, but this is a game that if they win this game and they win this game handily, this is a message to this Western Division that L.A. or Seattle will not be winning this division.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And Nick Bosa, man, he's playing unreal football for that 49ers team. He's definitely a future star. He's a star almost practically already, but he's definitely a future star in this league.
Confidence, bro.
I definitely want McCaffrey to run it down their throats. And this is with – I believe the Niners are going to win the game, but I hate the Niners. So I'm not going with them. I'm hoping that McCaffrey just has a MVP-like performance again and is able to play ball control and wear that defense down. And, you know, sometimes you get a team like this that's playing really well, and then a team will go in and they'll make that blueprint on how to beat that team. And that's what I'm hoping happens this week. If they give the rest of the league a blueprint on how to beat the Niners team. And it can happen. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, easier said than done, my friend. All right. Let's wrap it up with the last team here. The last game should be the Packers at the Chiefs. And Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax. Man, he put on a show. Had him on a fantasy team. Thank you very much. And
I hate you.
He talked about that was a very surprise. We knew it was going to happen, man. That's why I can't wait for the fantasy shout outs. But again, then you kind of see the ramifications as far as what happened with Patrick Mahomes, you know, trying to come back, and then, you know, that shot around the league as far as what happened with him, his dislocated kneecap, and this really, really sets back the Chiefs. And then, even though I know he's trying to come back within 3 weeks or so, but this definitely affects, as Rob said, a team that could potentially gave the Patriots some challenges. And now that's kind of up in flux right about now. So without spreading too much hate, JQ, and again, shout out to Big Mike for the Packer. I'll let you kind of take this one too, JQ, and start us off on this one.
Yeah, I already know. I mean, but when you get somebody that goes for 6 total touchdowns, you're going to be in for a long day fantasy-wise if you're playing against them. But that being said, yeah, I think it would be a much tougher call for me if it was Patrick Mahomes playing. But what he's doing right now, and, you know, talking to Rob, who was saying he wasn't elite no more, and talking bad about Aaron Rodgers, he came out and said, oh, yeah, hold my beer, and went out there and probably put 6 touchdowns on the board.
And
so he might not be able to chug it, but – yeah, I was going to say, he might not be able to chug it, but he can definitely put the ball in the end zone. So I just don't think with the state of that Kansas City defense and without having Pat Mahomes there to bail him out, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah. And, hey, I'll eat crow, you know. I'll definitely eat the crow. But
pull the chair. Pull the chair, bro.
I'll definitely eat the crow. I mean, truth being told, Aaron Rodgers won himself the last 2 years, but Aaron Rodgers is like Aaron Rodgers this past Sunday, and he's looked like Aaron Rodgers a lot this season. So I give credit where credit is due. I'll eat crow on what I've said, and Aaron Rodgers playing back to being an MVP candidate again, and might even be the favorite for MVP thus far this season. So give him credit. He's responded. That team has responded. He's responded with the new coaching staff. And, I mean, they look like a legitimate contender right now. And they're better on defense. And most importantly, they're better on the offensive line. I know I've said that a lot. You know, I know that's kind of all the good teams we've been talking about here on the show tonight. One thing is consistent is they all have a good offensive line. And the same thing with the Packers. They've improved on the offensive line. That's where Aaron Rodgers have been getting killed the last few years. They got a solid running game, and their defense is better. And that's what puts together, that makes for a successful football team. And he's back to playing like an MVP-level quarterback. And they definitely, Chiefs lose their 3rd straight game at home, which is unheard of. Packers go on the road and win this one. I'm going to go 35-17.
Gotcha. West Coast.
Wow, that's a big win for the Packers if they can go in there. It's a hard place to play. It's loud.
See Matt Moore doing a lot.
No, I don't either. I don't think it'll be as big of a win, but I do think, maybe a 24-20 game. But I think Aaron Rodgers is the difference. He is playing extremely well this year. And as it stands right now, he'd be my midseason pick for MVP.
Okay.
I want to say what I need to see from Kansas City you know, next man up, everybody. Now we lost our hero. Now everybody's got to focus, button it up, and get better and step up. And where we really need to see that from Kansas City is on their defense. Their defense looked pretty good in this last game they played. And that might have been a mirage, but this is your opportunity, because you don't have your hero, to work on what we as a team need to do to step it up and win some games. I don't think they're going to win this game. And then Minnesota, they got the next game is Minnesota. Now, I'm not sure if they're going up there or Minnesota's coming down to Arrowhead. But those are two games that currently, if they don't get it together, they're going to have two immediate losses after losing Pat Mahomes. And that is ugly.
Yeah, they'll lose to Minnesota without Pat Mahomes. I don't care where they're playing. That's going to, you're right. That's going to be two losses in a row. Yeah. I don't care where they're playing at.
All right. Let's talk about the next topic here. We've got about 18 minutes left in the show, so we definitely want to make sure that we show some love and get some fantasy shout-outs in here. But before we do that,
yeah.
I do want to talk
Williams,
about
–
I'm not picking on JQ. No.
Yes, you were. You stopped it. Yes,
no,
you were.
No,
it's
I'm
fine.
No, I'm not.
You know,
it's all good. Totally. Because, dude, I don't like to eat crow, man. I just like to do my thing. Let's talk about, you know, again, the Falcons' demise has been pretty much here in Atlanta. It's just been, like, crazy right now. And we pretty much have given up. We're talking about trading. We traded Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots, and I was very surprised they had a second-round pick. So, again, wow, that's pretty good. Obviously, maybe, like, lower second-round, but that's pretty valuable. And, of course, the Patriots, they're going to get some more compensatory picks, too. So it's not like, you know, again, they're losing too much in this deal. But as somebody said earlier, I was listening to the conversation, this is almost like a great move to put them over the top. Not that they needed any more help, but Mohamed Sanu, he's a great blocker, just a great locker room guy. You know, it's kind of one of the situations where you're like, man, you kind of, it's weird to say this, but, you know, you hope that he does well because, you know, he's such a great guy, man. So, again, from that perspective, I'm like, man, I get it. But then he had to go to the Patriots. I'm like, man, you know, so, again, it's one of those kind of like kind of hurtful situations. But definitely just a great move by the Patriots. And I know as Curtis said it and everyone said it, seems like, you know, everyone's playing checkers and they're playing chess. They know all the right moves, the way the defense has been playing. I don't really know if I can name a lot of people in that defense, but they're still doing fantastic. Everything the Patriots, you wish you can be the Patriots, and you want to knock them off as much as you can. You hope that Tom Brady, you know, has a flu. You hope that his wife, you know, gets, you know, just, I don't know. You just hope everything goes bad, but it's done, man. So there you go. That's my 5-2 cents on the situation, and I'll pass it around the room, as always, to JQ, Rob, and to West Coast as well. So there you go.
Yeah, and I think what it tells me is, one, you know, he just has an affinity for Rutgers dudes, like, that played under Greg Schiano. It's just crazy. The McGordy brothers, I think it's a couple other ones in there, that he just likes those dudes. And they said, I've read a story about his. He's been trying to get some new for some years now. But what it also tells me is that I feel like, you know, Harry, the young rookie that's already on the IR, and you talk about Josh Gordon, I feel like that tells me that they are more injured than, you know, they put out there to bleed. I know he's on IR, but I think he was on the IR designated to return. But even in that, you know, it's not necessarily a surefire bet that he can come back. So it tells me that they know that they need help. There's some guys banged up. They feel like they're going to be banged up for a little while, and they went ahead and overpaid a tad bit for Sanu, even though I do like Sanu. But the only thing I worry about is he does a lot of his work out of the slot as well. And, of course, you have Julian Edelman. So what do you do? Do you change your offense to go to more of a 3-4 wide receiver set to put them both in the, you know, a 4 receiver set more often and put them both in the slot? Like, how do they change their offense for him? And I know he's a good blocker, but – you know, if you're going to use him as a wide receiver, that's where he's most suited or has been playing his best at. So that's my only concern. Well, not really a concern, because I hope it doesn't freaking work to bump the Patriots. But philosophy from their standpoint of how they move forward with him. I still think it's a good pick. And you, like you said, Bill Belichick and them will find a way. But on the surface, when I see that piece of him on a deeper dive, I just wonder how that's going to work out between those two guys, basically wanting to play the same spot.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you look at it from the – well, let's just talk about it from Mohamed Sanu's standpoint. That dude went to sleep last night. He was on a team that was 1-6. He woke up, he was on a team that was 7-0. And
Rob.
Thanks, Rob. So, I mean, that dude's got to be ecstatic. Let's just talk about him for a moment. But yeah, getting back to, you know, how does it help the Patriots? It gives them another resource. It gives them another weapon. It gives them some depth. Obviously, you know, it's not a number one elite receiver. So they have a bunch of guys, I think, that are capable of being like a number two guy. But it just gives them some depth at a position of need. And trust me, as you know, I can't remember. Maybe that was Curtis who said Bill Belichick was a genius. He and Josh McDaniels is going to figure out a way to make this acquisition be a benefit to that organization. And you never can doubt what they're going to do. And from a Falcons perspective, you got to look at it like you got good value in return. I mean, the Patriots are willing to give up a second-round pick for a guy that wasn't even a number one receiver. And so from the Falcons standpoint, I mean, that's great value to reset their organization going forward. But trust me, the Patriots are going to make good use of the player. There's no doubt about it. And trust me, with them acquiring him, they have a clear vision for the player. There's no doubt.
Right. I was going to say, they've already thought about it. They probably already have plays for him. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired of talking about the Patriots.
Well, no, I want to say this, and I want to say this. Notice this, you guys, and I heard this on talk radio. As other teams are getting younger, and especially we're getting younger in our quarterbacks, the Patriots are getting older in their defensive backfield. And the Patriots and Tom Brady, they're not really into these young guys. They love veterans up there. And they love button-up veterans, and they love smart veterans. And one of the things that they're doing to this league, the Patriots are outsmarting this league on every turn. And they're not getting dummies up there to win Super Bowls for them. And that Sanu fits the bill. And they just got that much better. And I want to indict the whole AFC. Why didn't they see that? Why didn't they do that? They came off a Monday Night Football game looking like world beaters, and they got better, and the rest of the league got worse.
I think Rob has made the comment that that some people can take. I can take your guys and beat you with your guys or whatever, because sometimes some people's have that effect. Like coaching is, I am convinced coaching is huge, guys. I mean, you know, certain coaches put players in the position to be successful. I mean, I'm going to say that with Kyle Shanahan, he was able to take certain players, and great players are always going to overcome certain things, but you can scheme certain things, and you can, you know, coaching does go a long way. So that's the problem now we can say with the Falcons. You know, you're not having good coaching because, and there's some player things too, but coaching is always going to put you in position. So we talk about Belichick. He, as Rob said, he knows exactly what to do with that player. So they have veterans. They don't have time to figure out what, you know, this is your role. I mean, you don't have to be a world beater. If you're going to stay in the A-gap, you stay in the A-gap. You play the three techniques, you play the three. That's all you got to do, you know. And that's all – and everyone's successful. Everyone knows how to, the Patriot way, but it is a Patriot way. We can hate it. We can, like, crap on it, but it's just, like, it's frustrating because, again, you would think everyone would figure it out. And, you know, even though the – I really believe if the Antonio Brown thing, then if he didn't have the problems that he had on a personal level, he would have still been with the Patriots, and they still would have been nominated. So that's a whole other conversation. But, again – craziness, gentlemen. I know we're sick of talking to the Patriots. I am too. We got 10 minutes left in the show. Hey, Rob.
before we get too far into this, I definitely want to do these fantasy shout-outs because we definitely want to talk about where Patrick Mahomes stands. And then Lamar Jackson doing his thing, man. I mean, you talk about just going up against a great, you know, Russ Wilson's playing well, too. We're going to talk about that as well. But let's do some fantasy shout-outs and we'll talk about Lamar Jackson's game and how he's just kind of like, you know, redefining that role of being a running quarterback and throwing as well. So go ahead, Rob.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. League number one, Chris in Orlando, Florida. His team shocked the system. Actually, beat his son pretty bad. 180.84, the Mickey Baller 65.02, and Monsters of the Midway, that's Paul in Atlanta. His team's in first place with a 6-1 record. League number two, Boxcar Willie 02. That's Mark from New Orleans. He had the biggest win of the week, 179.84 to EP Diablo's 94.84. And Fleur de Lis, that's Matthew in Indianapolis. He's in first place with a 7-0 record. League number three, NOLA for Life's team. That's Sean in Atlanta. Had a 101.92. B. Irvin's team to 52. And Pelican Fly, that's Rick in Austin, Texas. His team is in first place with a 6-1 record. League number four, biggest win of the week. Andre's wife, Marcy, at Baby Got Backfield, had the biggest win of the week, 101.52. The Birds flew south, 63.84. And Andre's team is in first place with a 4-3 record. So those are our fantasy shout-outs for our fantasy football league. Thanks for competing, everyone.
That wasn't that bad, JQ. See, there you go. That was something else.
Yeah, no, I was sitting there like, and I'm also the idiot in that league that sat Marvin Jones because he hadn't been doing anything and he just erupts. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Touchdown, Marvin Jones. Out of the blue.
Touchdown, Marvin Jones.
But you didn't see that coming, man. And that's how that crap always happened, man. I was had Marvin Jones. He had Marvin Jones and he had Matthew Stafford. I mean, so that's just not
Ooh.
Fair. I mean, yeah.
Ooh,
I mean, he just like, he just happened to start. He's like, I'm going to start him. Like, that's strictly luck, man. There's no way you can call that, you know, so it is what it is. All right.
Yeah,
I do want to talk about Lamar. Yeah, that was pretty rough. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson and his performance against the Seahawks. You talk about a pretty really good game by Lamar, and I guess he's proven his credit strong. You have to give Baltimore a ton of credit because, you know, unlike certain teams that like to hold on to their players, they kind of realized that Flacco was not the answer, probably not a popular decision, and then they are, again, looking like geniuses. So I'm going to let West Coast take this and your thoughts about Lamar Jackson's performance. And against Russell Wilson was playing, you know, on an MVP level too as well. So tell me your thoughts about that, guys.
Well, Lamar Jackson, you know, he's playing well. I had mentioned him as, you know, quarterback in Ravens team that is potentially one that may be able to, you know, compete against New England. But Lamar Jackson specifically in this game. And that Ravens team that went to Seattle to play in that kind of atmosphere against Russell Wilson, who's been absolutely phenomenal this year, it is great. I mean, that guy just played phenomenal ball. He's smart. And he's mobile. That's the big thing. He can run. I think, how many yards rushing does he have? I think he's right up here in rushing for he's like fifth or sixth, I think, for rushing. So, I mean, it's just remarkable what he can do. And what I like about it is I'm watching him run. He's not taking huge hits. He's diving forward or sliding or just turning his body in a way that, you know, he's being real smart about it. And so I've been really impressed with his play. What do you got on this, Curtis?
Well, the thing, and here's what I see in Lamar. I see a desire to win football games. There are some football players out there that I guess they have an attitude. Hell or high water, we're beating this team. today, this Sunday, we're going to beat this team. And I see that in Lamar, and I saw that in that Seattle football game. They went up there, and they were convinced they were going to beat that team. And they did it. And Lamar kind of led the way there, and it was impressive to see. Now, what I worry about, when they get to New England, and I'm sure Belichick is not going to let that man run the football on that defense. And Belichick's going to challenge him. We're not letting you run. Now what are you going to do? That's what I'm
talking about. That's the part of the game that Lamar still has to improve. I mean, obviously, he was 9 out of 20 throwing the football in that game. But, man, he made some electric plays when he had to with his feet, you know, running the football. And a legitimate argument here, I mean, you look at the quarterbacks that were taken in that draft. You look at Baker Mayfield with number one. You look at Sam Darnold, number three, Josh Rosen. Those are three quarterbacks that were taken ahead of Lamar Jackson. And you still got to have – you still got to put a lot of weight on a win-loss record at the quarterback position. And in that regard, he's outperforming all three of those guys when it comes to the win-loss record. Has he been pretty throwing the football? I mean, he started off the year this year throwing the ball really good. You know, obviously, that was against Miami and maybe another team. But his passing percentage, the accuracy is going down again. But he makes plays when he has to. He uses his feet, and he's being smart with his decision-making as well, and not turning over the football. And so, I mean, you have to wonder if those other teams ahead of him made a mistake. Just we talked about Mitch Trubisky and the Bears passing on Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. But, you know, you can always make a case that, hey, those teams probably made a mistake and passed on Lamar Jackson as well. And hey, I was almost there even with the Saints, because the Saints, when Drew Brees got hurt, I was like, man, this is probably when we should have took Lamar Jackson. You know, when we wound up taking Marcus Davenport, who was turning out to be a really good defensive end as well, so we can't complain too bad. But and Teddy Bridgewater's
not know about
well,
that one.
But there are a lot of teams. There are a lot of teams that they really should be questioning passing up Lamar Jackson. What do you know about?
He should be. No, I was saying because I don't know about Marcus Davenport. I was going to say too. Good kudos to the guys that said Marcus Davenport. Excuse me, that said Lamar Jackson should play wide receiver. So I hope they're crapping themselves right now, because you talk about what an amazing motivational thing for that too. Yeah, you got 30 seconds, JQ.
Yeah, and I think I just echo the sentiment of when they play a good team, they're going to say, you're not going to run the ball against us. You're going to have to sit in this pocket and go through your progressions. We're going to spy you. We're going to have to treat it like college and just put a spy on you and go to this defense. And I know he's going to still make some plays because it's electric. But I'm going to design my defense to put a shell in there and say, okay, you kind of almost have to rush it like Michael Vick. Remember, like, you couldn't take those wide edge rushes and go way up and create those big seams between the tackle and the guard and let him come through that big old hole. And now you got the linebacker and a whole bunch of space trying to contain him one-on-one, because he's going to make a move and he's going to get some yards. You got to kind of just push that pocket directly back into his face. Everybody rush with discipline. You want to get there, but you want to just kind of bring it in like a little small U and close it in and make him throw the ball down the field. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. And you would think the Seahawks were one of those teams that had the linebackers to really contain them, but they couldn't. That was really shocking to me, that he was able to get through that against that team. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You hear the music. The frozen tundra of Landro Field is near. But thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. So click on the same link starting tomorrow or anytime the rest of the week. You can get the rest of the show. We still have NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, and NBA to talk about. So you definitely want to click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Next week, we're going to be back on Tuesday night yet again. Tuesday night yet again on next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. for our friends in Honolulu and Maui. Good night, people.
Yeah, that's better known as Lambeau Field, just in case anybody was paying attention. Hey, I appreciate y'all for listening to the show. Download the link. I don't know how much of that we're going to get to because, you know, me and Andre here are on the East Coast. It's midnight, so we got to go to sleep. All right. Appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good week.
Good job, JQ. Way to bring some clarity because, you know, again, we do have some long nights and we got to be like, all right, we got to pipe this up. Hey, again,
JQ
going to
be up watching the lake.
This is game one. I'll worry about that when they get for real. Like, no, I'm not going to be up all night watching game one. Just honest.
For the sake of the East Coasters here, we always like to talk about, again, what's happening throughout the topics. I like you guys to pick a topic and just, you know, go ham on that topic. That's what we're going to start doing. And there's a lot to discuss, you know, because we could talk about the Who's Driving the Cowboys' Success by Curtis and Gary. You guys can start with that. You could talk about how, you got pretty much handed your boy Doug Peterson, how he's guaranteed victory. That. You can talk about Tariq Cohen's height, Rob. I mean, that's hilarious, again. And then, JQ, you have an opportunity to talk about whatever you want to talk about, too. So, again, for the sake of the East Coasters, as we kind of wrap this up, now is the time to kind of whatever topic you guys want. I'm going to say go ham on that. And then we'll officially wrap this up, too, because I'm with you, JQ. It's been a long week, man. I had, like, four events for the weekend, man. So I'm like, woo, but it's all good. So go ahead, man. We want to do Curtis and Gary. It's one of you guys, man. You guys have the floor.
Well, let me just say this. Gary, when I walked in today, Gary told me about an injury to Carson Wentz that I didn't know about. Gary?
Yeah, Carson Wentz, he got injured in this game. Again, he's been injury prone.
Again.
So going forward, he got his feelings hurt this week.
Uh-oh.
And I wanted to give a game ball out to Doug Peterson for motivating the Cowboys so well. He couldn't motivate his own team, but he definitely motivated the Cowboys. And the Cowboys did what Curtis and I wanted them to do all year long, punch that team right in the face. And so I was watching Game Day, and they had Coach Mooch on there. And in the conversation with Coach Mooch, they asked him, okay, if you had to pick a quarterback between Wentz or Prescott to start your franchise right now for the next 10 years, who would you pick? And he said, I don't know. You know, they're both good quarterbacks. They both control the ball. He gave all of what he liked about them. And so they pinned him down. And he said, okay, if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with Dak Prescott because he's going to stay healthier throughout his career than Carson Wentz, as it stands right now. So I definitely agreed with that. Dak Prescott's 5-1 now against Wentz and his boys. So we're happy with that. But all is well in North America now. We made America great again this week.
I don't know about all that. But I'm gonna say this,
wow.
and this is on my mind. I've been listening to, you know, my favorite guys out here out west, and this is the beginning of the basketball season, and this is, you know, we had the first two games today. The Blazers will play tomorrow here in Portland. And I plan to get a really good ticket, and I plan to be there. So I plan to do the opening night in the NBA for me. But one of the things I want to say, out here at West, they are talking heavy about the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. The other two teams they talk about a lot out here in the West is the Denver Rockets, Denver Nuggets, and the Utah Jazz. Nobody out here on talk radio in the West is talking about the Blazers. They really aren't. Everybody's curious about And we know Klay Thompson probably won't be there this year. So
yep.
it's going to have to be D'Angelo Russell down there
yep.
in Golden State. And everybody's curious how this is going to work in Houston. Even me, boy, this is going to be interesting how this is going to work in Houston. But I'm looking at the Blazers' their roster, and I don't understand why nobody's talking about him. I mean, Bazemore is going to have to prove something to me. Whiteside's going to have to prove something to me. But the nucleus, and I want to put Damian Lillard, I don't know why he gets overlooked, but I think Damian Lillard is definitely one of the top 10 players in the league, if he's not closer to being in the top five. And so it just blows my mind that we're talking about Denver, we're talking about Utah, but maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing nobody's talking about the Blazers at the moment.
Yeah, another Raider. Yeah, another Raider. Yeah, that's true.
Well, Vegas has had them off for the last 3 years on their over-under. This year, I think, what is it, 43? So over-under for the Portland Trail Blazers, 46 games. What do you guys think on that?
Whew. That's a tough one. Well, that Western Conference is loaded. But I'm going to say over 46 for the Blazers. I think they can at least be a 48-win team this year. I'm going to say over. And they got a chance to get over 50 wins. I mean, the West is so unpredictable right now. And, you know, I think we'll start after about 20 games. I think we'll start to kind of see who these front runners are. Obviously,
Clippers,
you know,
Lakers.
We don't see the Clippers without Paul George. But, you know, I think by 20 games or so, we'll start to see who's kind of leading the pack. But right now, it's so unpredictable. I mean, the Lakers and the Clippers have a chance. The Rockets have a chance. The Trailblazers have a chance. And even the Warriors, I mean, even without Klay Thompson, having Steph Curry, Draymond Green, D'Angelo Russell, and some role players, all these teams still are in contention in my eyes. It's really hard to, in my eyes, it's really hard to pick a favorite.
The only thing I'm going to say really quickly before you get started, JQ, is just about how I have another buddy who's a Cowboys fan. They're always around here. And he's actually from Alabama. But he was basically saying that the problem that the Cowboys have with Dak Prescott is whenever you kind of figure out how to shut down that run game and you make Dak beat you, like if you guys get a lead on the Cowboys, they're in trouble because they know that, you know, if they – have to run Ezekiel, then that, you know, that kind of like literally allows them to kind of have that more balance. But if you basically are playing from behind, Dak can't beat you. So I'm curious to hear about that and, you know, what happened on Sunday and the fact that they had the two turnovers and they just got up on the Philadelphia. They were playing right into their hands, man. So it kind of worked out for Cowboys. So, again, you know, he was kind of saying once you play those teams that know you got to make Dak beat them, it's a whole other different ball game. So that's just a little silent about that.
Well, I'll jump in. Yeah. I wanted to jump in on the Blazers one. And if you think about it, where there are 15 teams in each conference, right? It's 30 teams in the league, so 15 and 15. So the reason why I'm going to go over is if you look at it from a standpoint of you're going to get the home and away with the Eastern Conference, that's 30 games, right? You're top heavy in the East, and you still feel like you should win some of those games. So if you're at worst, I mean, you're 20-10, so to speak. And then say in the West, you know, you got 52 games in there. So that's, you know, 26-26 if you break 500. If you go 26-26 and, you know, 20-10 or whatever, you know, you are sitting right there on the cusp of, you know, 46 games. And what is this? 46, right? Is the number?
Yeah.
Okay. So And that's only if you do that. If you beat up on a lot of those, you know, Eastern Conference teams and get some key victories against the top four, I would put it out there, you can get the 47-48 win. So I'm going to go with 49 wins for the Blazers. They go over.
All right. I'm writing this down.
Don't give Gary any more ammunition. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about, bro, before we wrap this up, man?
I think you knew where this was going. I absolutely was happy for Lovie Smith, but I was thoroughly upset for Ohio State. They did not need Wisconsin to lose to Illinois last week and take some of the shine off of this. Now, instead of having three play against six or five. Sorry. You hear me?
Yeah, what happened? You good? What happened? You all right?
Hold on, it's my fault, my bad. Can you hear me now?
That's all good. Yeah, we got you. Good.
Yeah, I
dropped
my phone. I'm an idiot.
Sound like you were asleep for a second. We were getting worried.
Yeah, I know. I dropped my phone on the floor. I'm an idiot. They needed that for the showcase for the college football playoff when you go and talk about the best wins you have. You know, the Texas barely getting by Kansas also hurt. I think hurts LSU because I don't think it's as big a win anymore. I think the Florida win is still big, and they're going to get their chances against Auburn and Alabama. But, you know, early on we thought Texas was Texas. That was a bigger win. The same thing for Ohio State and Wisconsin. You would thought it would have been a bigger win, but them losing to Illinois, they definitely got caught looking ahead to Ohio State. I think they're still a really good team. I think that's going to be a tough game, really, maybe the first game this year, probably so, where Justin Fields has to play the whole four quarters. I'm interested to see how he responds to that. I think Wisconsin still has a really good team, but they're almost in a lose-lose now for Ohio State because you're supposed to beat them because they just lost to Illinois. And so you don't gain anything out of it in terms of necessarily. I think it's still a decent win, but it's not the win that it could have been. So that's a little disappointing. And the other piece of that topic, P.J. Fleck rowing the boat at Minnesota. That shot with the kid that came back from cancer and was the holder on the field goal or the point after. I mean,
awesome.
That kind of stuff, when you bring it up a program like he's trying to do in Minnesota, you know, and you go walk into a kid's parents and they've seen that and he's seen that kid you're recruiting, you know, it's just some things that, you know, I know he didn't do it for that reason. But it does help him in terms of building that program up, that camaraderie, that what he had at a smaller school,
yep.
He can now do it at Big Ten school. So, you know, I give him a lot of credit. I was surprised he took the Minnesota job because I feel like it's going to be a stepping stone job. If somebody for real comes calling for him, he's not going to turn him down from Minnesota. I don't care how much he loves those kids. He's going to want to go to do a top 10, 15 Division I program. If he gets a chance, he's out. That's why I was surprised he took it. But, you know, I give him credit in this year. He's got them undefeated. I mean, they still got to play Wisconsin, so we'll see how good they really are, you know, in that western part of the Big Ten. But for me, you know, it's just a little bit of a letdown in terms of, you know, the national prominence that for both teams, really, that they could have gotten if Wisconsin had it flipped up.
And just really quickly, too, I want to also give a shout-out to you, JQ, and Ohio State, man, because fan of Justin Fields, man, 100%, man. And the joke here in Georgia, you probably heard that as well, that apparently Georgia, the University of Georgia, if you will, doesn't like mobile quarterbacks, which is nuts. So, you know.
They've been that way.
Justin got to notice that. You know, it's just crazy. You know, they kind of made DJ Shockley sit, but, it, you know, that's why.
That's the last one.
Totally a fan. You know, it's crazy. But, you know, one of those situations like, come on, dude. Get a mobile quarterback. You know, welcome to the, even Nick Saban has kind of figured that out. But go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
And it's Georgia. You got so many of them in your backyard.
Yeah.
And you just play.
Watson,
I'm sorry, Rob. Yeah. Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Watson. He's right there.
He's from Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gainesville, yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to close with college football as well. Just some big games in college football. You know, obviously, JQ talked about the Wisconsin-Ohio State matchup. And I think the difference in this football game, Wisconsin obviously is a team that's very strong in the trenches. Jonathan Taylor, one of the best running backs in college football. But I think the edge is where Ohio State is the difference in this game. When you look at the speed positions, the skill positions, is where Ohio State will be the difference in this game. And then when you look at the secondary of Ohio State in those areas, I think will be the difference in this football game. And so, I do think Ohio State wins this game. I think they win by two touchdowns. And for a prediction here, I'm going to go 31-20, almost two touchdowns. I'm going to go 31-20, Ohio State winning this game at home. Yeah, and as far as Georgia and Justin Fields, I was talking to some Georgia fans on yesterday.
And, boy, they are regretting losing Justin Fields. He's having that kind of a phenomenal year, and it should be in the Heisman conversation. And based on what I'm seeing, I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. And, you know, based on what I've seen, they may not have the resume yet of some teams. When you look at their personnel on offense and defense and the way they're playing, in my eyes, right now they're the best team in the country. Like I said, they may not have the best resume yet, but from what I'm seeing as far as the way they're playing like the best team in the country. Next game here, you got number 9 Auburn against number 2 LSU. Rivalry, this is a huge rivalry in the South. Two teams that don't like each other here. I think the difference, of course, this game, even though it's not at night, it's still going to be at Tiger Stadium. You know, LSU, I think, will have too much offense. Auburn has a phenomenal defensive line. Derrick Brown, man, he's a beast in the middle. Mississippi State was able to put a little pressure on Joe Burrow early in the game. So LSU's got to be real careful in that area and protect the quarterback. They did a phenomenal job against Florida. Florida had 0 sacks against LSU. And LSU's offensive line has been great most of the year. But I think LSU rises to the occasion. I think LSU, I don't think they cross quality in this game, but I think they put up 31 on Auburn. And I think it's going to be 31-17 LSU with a 17-point victory. I don't think Auburn offensively, even though they put up 51 against Arkansas, I don't think they'll be able to score that many
against an
LSU defense that hasn't been great this year, but they have been improving week to week. And last but not least, number 8 Notre Dame at number 19 Michigan. I tell you something, I thought that Penn State game, I thought they would beat Michigan a lot more handily than what they did. Michigan showed me something at the end of that game. I mean, they were really competing. Lost out on the fourth goal chance to tie the game up in that game the other night. I think they win at home against Notre Dame. I think they may be finally possibly turning the corner, and I think they find a way to win this game at home in a close one. I'm going to go 24-21 Michigan in this game. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Texas, and you're right on it. You're spot on it with Texas. You know, obviously, if you're an LSU fan, you want Texas to beat Oklahoma to kind of, you know, improve LSU's resume. But, man, how about the Mad Hatter? The Mad Hatter had Kansas almost pulling off an upset in Austin.
Yes.
And Kansas, we're not talking about basketball. We're talking about football. And
Kansas
almost went to Austin and beat Texas. Had to get a last-second field goal to win that game. That's phenomenal. So, maybe, who knows, if Jim Harbaugh doesn't turn around Michigan, maybe they go to the Mad Hatter, go back to his alma mater. Very surprised at how competitive he was able to get that Kansas team to compete with Texas. And they were throwing the football, too, Kansas. He hardly ever threw the ball at LSU. Mad Hatter.
Yeah, he knew he had to evolve. Yeah.
He's trying to learn something. Hey, JQ, later on you're going to give me a scouting report on Chase Young. And who's that cornerback you guys have? I'm thinking it starts with the O. I never thought I'd be saying this right now. That's what's going to happen right now. We are in that conversation. Top pick here. It's crazy. But, yeah, that's the world of the street.
You
Chase
know what's
Young
on real quick?
And, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Chase Young is a beast. He just is a big old dude. When you see him, he just explodes off the line. When that dude is healthy, he's a monster. He's another Bosa. So I firmly believe that. I think people are starting to see it this year. You better have a really good tackle out there. Our chip with a tight end all night, or it's going to be a long night. But you know what's crazy about it, Rob, is that if you ask me who I thought the best team was, I think it's LSU. I think Joe Burrow has been the elixir for what ails the LSU program. They just never had a quarterback. And now you're getting the quarterback, you know, they're pulling his pants down, all kind of wild stuff, and he's still lighting them up. Like, I hear you about the defense.
He moved
but,
the crowd.
You know, yeah, but he's taking them what they could have been doing if they had had a significant or better quarterback play over the past, 5 to 10 years. So I do. They impress me with what they're doing. And you got to know that they're going to figure it out on defense because they always do, because they have the athletes too. So it's interesting. It's crazy we're both saying that, and I'm not trying to be a homer, but we're saying about their opposite team, our friends' team, and we haven't said it about Alabama or Clemson. That's a really weird year.
Yeah, I predicted Clemson's going to go undefeated, though, so that was crazy. Earlier, you did have high hopes for Clemson. I do remember that, though, but that's all good, bro. Keep going.
But Clemson is scary, though. One thing, if you notice about Dabo Sweeney teams, they get better as the year goes along. And we saw that last year. And, you know, if you recall, last year I predicted Clemson before the season to win a national championship, and I kind of retracted because they weren't playing so well in the regular season. But then they got it together when it got down to playoff time. And so that's still one of those teams you got to watch. But Georgia was another team that I was high on. But I think when you look at Georgia right now, Jake Fromm is not being a difference maker that you expect from him as a quarterback at this level in his career. And they're getting it done in the trenches, but Georgia just their receivers are too young. They're just not being a difference maker out there on the outside. And I think the best two teams in the SEC are definitely in the West, LSU and Alabama. So it will be interesting if both of those teams will get to the playoffs from the same division. So we'll kind of see how that translates. Then, of course, a Tua injury, how bad is that going to impact Alabama as well? So we have to see how, you know, those kind of things evolve. And you got to watch Oklahoma. And Oklahoma, one thing about them is, from what I can see, their defense is pretty good for a change. And, you know, back in the 10, 15 years ago, you always expected Oklahoma to have a good defense. But last few years, their defense has been atrocious. But this year, their defense is a lot better. And so that's another team you got to watch. It's going to be real interesting right now. And when you look at Oklahoma, you look at Ohio State, you look at LSU and Alabama, then, of course, you got to still keep Clemson in the mix. Dabo Sweeney teams, like I said, they get better as the year go along. And they have a lot of young players on defense that wasn't starting last year that are starting to evolve.
Hey,
Curtis and Gary, next week we'll give us a scouting report on Justin Herbert, okay? Because I know we want to talk about him from Oregon, your thoughts on him. We don't have time now because it's getting a little late, but just keep that for next week. Is that okay, guys? Is that good?
Yeah,
awesome. Because I want to hear your thoughts on him, because I know he's going to be a top quarterback. We got a couple of them as we talk about. Miami's going to be looking for a quarterback. Cincinnati, unfortunately, may be looking for a quarterback. We'll see how that plays out as well too. So we may be kind of targeting that as well, if you will. And if you're looking at the Saints, I mean, I don't know the Saints, Rob. Give me your thoughts if they're going to be content with that, or as you say, keep Joe Burrow in state of Louisiana, because Lord knows that Saints he'd already be in this folk hero as well. But go ahead and end the show, Rob, if you don't mind, bro.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Well,
that
if you're the Saints, you hope you're picking number 32. And if the Saints are picking 32, we won't have a shot at Joe Burrow or at the way he's playing right now. If you're the Saints, you're hoping you got that last pick in the first round this year. But I tell you what, I don't know if you're hearing this, JQ, but reportedly, I don't know when A.J. Green is back healthy, but I know the Saints are seriously interested in him. And so I don't know what it's going to take to get him. But I know the Saints and the Bengals are talking in as far as getting A.J. Green. So, we'll see if that transpires this stretch run. The trading deadline is next week
next
on
week,
the 29th. Yeah, next week on the 29th. And, JQ, it's probably the last year Andy Dalton is going to be starting quarterback for the Bengals. I'm going to challenge you to wear an Andy Dalton costume for Halloween next week.
Shit, no. you know how many like specialty Bengals jerseys I've seen online, and the only person they offered it from was an Andy Dalton, and I didn't buy it just for that particular reason. Like, you will not see me with Andy Dalton on my back, me dressed up as him. No, sir. No chance. Not happening.
You a redhead mask, man. You gotta wear.
The AJ Green one. You might get to the point. No, bro. I'm gonna be out there probably with an Ohio State pullover and a Scully, and I'm gonna keep it moving. But the thing about AJ Green is, I hate to see him go,
But at the same time, I would like to see him have a chance to win. You know what I mean? Like, I like A.J. Green. He's 32 years old, 30, yeah, something like that now. The Bengals aren't going anywhere for at least a couple of years. You know, don't let him just fade off. You know, if you can get a decent pick or two for him, you know, I mean, because you can't get too much too crazy because he's a free agent after this year. So you do what you got to do. I mean, I get it. It's still a business. I would hate to lose him, but, you know, I understand. But how do you pay him and Michael Thomas? Like, there's only so much money on the salary cap.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I think from the Saints' perspective, I think you can make a trade like that. How healthy is he, number one? And so, I mean, that would be my concern. I mean, how close is he being ready to play? How healthy is he? And as you mentioned, he's a free agent after this year. So how much are you willing to give up for a guy that's going to be a free agent unless you can convince him to sign an extension as a part of the trade? So, like, all of that's just rumors right now. You know, we'll see what transpires. You know, I definitely think the Saints could use another wide receiver. And now we've got a few injuries. Hey, NFL, expand the damn roster. Stop being cheap. There's no way Eli Apple should have been on the field at the end of that game when we're kicking the Bears' ass. He should have been on the sidelines. Now he gets hurt.
Well, his own Buckeye did it to him. Michael Thomas did it to him. They should have had the ball in offense if Michael Thomas don't run and touch the ball for no good reason at all. So I love Michael Thomas, but that was bonehead, and he got Eli Apple hurt. He shouldn't even have been on the field.
He shouldn't have, but expand the rosters.
I think the Saints are in a great position because I think somebody's going to give up the world to get Bridgewater, and I don't think Bridgewater is going to be on the Saints next year. Somebody's going to go after him, and so that's going to be. I don't know. They're paying them pretty good, I know. So there's some money there and probably some good draft choices, too. If he goes,
well, he's a free agent at the end of this year. So, I mean, he's a free agent at the end of this year, so the Saints wouldn't get anything for him. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins offered him a starting job coming into this season. And, you know, Sean Payton selling point to him has been, you know, you could be the guy to take over for Drew Brees. So we'll have to see if that works anymore, if he can continue to sell him on that or if he takes the opportunity somewhere else. But, you know, he's definitely proven himself to be an adequate, a solid NFL starting quarterback again, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Resurrected his career. I've got a quick story for you guys. There's this usher in Portland at the Portland Trailblazer games. Her name is Mary Ricks. And, you know, she was told, hey, there's a guy sitting down in, you know, some seat right on the first row. So she goes down there, and she's got to get this guy out of the seat, in the legend seats, and it's Scottie Pippen. So she has to tell Scottie Pippen, you know, hey, I'm sorry, you're going to have to give up your seat. And he knows it's a legend seat, so he knows he's able to sit there. And they go, and he says, well, who is the seat for? And up walks Colin Kaepernick. He had to get up and go into another seat because that was Colin Kaepernick's seat for the game. I thought that was funny.
That's hilarious.
So Colin,
that's ridiculous.
That is hilarious.
Colin Kaepernick was up for the Blazer game. Big Blazer fan.
Yeah. Over Scottie Pippen? Stop that.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That goes to show you a lot. All right, Rob, end the show, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. Obviously, we hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun bringing it to you tonight. We're going to be back on the air live on next Tuesday night again. Next Tuesday. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our friends in Hawaii, aloha, mahalo. It's going to be 5 p.m. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Good night. How's y'all next week?
Gentlemen, be safe.
Be good, guys. And again, we'll talk soon, man. We'll talk to you guys soon. Safety first, as always. Be careful, guys. Don't spend too much candy, man. Seriously. Talk soon, man.
JQ,
be careful, bro.
JQ, watch the alcohol count.
Hey, dude, man, you're going to get off me, bro.
Enjoy, fellas.
All right, y'all.
Good night, dude.
Good night.